The Bhagavad Gita cannot be studied by osmosis. You cannot put the book under your pillow at night and sleep and then hope that throughout the night all the shlokas will penetrate into my brain. Or if we are reading verse number 8 or 9, you cannot take the page, burn it, make ash and mix it with honey and eat it and expect the knowledge to go. It's not going to happen. The way to study Gita or any spiritual text is a threefold step, which I think some of you are familiar with, but it's worth repeating. It's called Shravan, Manan, and Nididhyasana. So first step when we study any spiritual text is to listen to the teacher or read the book. So reading the text or listening is called Shravanam, where you listen with attention, with the idea that I have to fully understand, I have to tune my mind to the teacher, like this book has been written by Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda. So I have to tune my mind to the teacher so that what the teacher is thinking and I am thinking should be in contact, just as a radio station, you know, when you are, nowadays of course it's electronic, but in the old days I remember we had to turn those knobs and you have to turn it exactly to tune with the radio station, otherwise you get static. So similarly, I have to tune my mind to Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita, or Swami Chinmayananda, the idea being that I should be connected. So once I have listened, once I have understood this knowledge, then I have to do manan. And manan is churning of knowledge. As the Kevalya Upanishad says, jnana nirmatana bhyasat pasham dahati panditaha. So a wise person, after he has studied this from the teacher, he then does matana. He does constant churning of the knowledge so that he has to, or she has to think, how is this knowledge valid? Is this even true? Or is this, maybe it's only good for Arjuna who was listening to this, or maybe it's only good for somebody in the monasteries. But I'm a householder, I go to work every day, I have to deal with family problems, work problems, financial problems, children problems, teenager problems. Is this knowledge even valid or useful? So that is called churning, where that knowledge which originally was either Swami Chinmayananda's or Krishna's knowledge should now become my knowledge. I should understand how this applies to me. And the third is Nididhyasanam, application of this knowledge. So this knowledge should now become part of my worldly activities. It should not only be, okay, I Sunday I studied it, I read it, and then I go and just put the book away and okay, till next Sunday I don't even touch it. No, I should read this every day and I should see how I can change my life according to the knowledge. If my life does not change, then by reading, I'm just wasting my time and the teacher's time. So the knowledge has to actually change my life and I have to abide in that knowledge. So this is what the Bhagavad Gita or any spiritual text should be studied in this way. So far in this 17th chapter, we have heard about the three types of Shraddha or three types of faith. So there are some people who are predominantly sattvic, that is, they are very spiritual, very peaceful, very knowledgeable. So sattva represents purity, represents knowledge. Then the second category of people are the rajasic people, who are very active, very passionate, driven to succeed. But then they may be willing to cut corners or cheat a little or, you know, take something that doesn't belong to them because of their desire to succeed, to be powerful. And then the third category is the tamasic people, who are basically lazy and want society to take care of them. They are the, you know, drug dealers and crooks and, you know, who basically earn dishonestly and live a life of laziness, indolence. But not only people are like that, but even we, throughout our day, we may go through these particular mental attitudes. Like I wake up in the morning, I'm fresh, and I have had a good night's sleep, and I wake up, the sun is rising, I go out and chant the Gayatri Mantra, or I remember the Lord, then I'm in a sattvic mood. I maybe do some meditation, some prayer, chanting of the name of the Lord, or I read something good, then I'm in a sattvic mood. And then as I go to work, I get ready, then I become more rajasic. I'm active, I'm working, and I'm passionate. And then at the end of the day, when I'm tired, I say, look, at this moment, I can neither do any prayer nor do any work. I just want to sleep. So I'm in a tamasic mood, and that is okay. But a person should have, the main goal of life should be spiritual unfoldment. So slowly, I have to make all my activities sattvic. Even when I'm working in the world, I should work with a pure attitude of service, attitude of love, attitude of sharing. So even when I'm in Rajas, that's what Swami Chinmayananda, we learn from his life. We are celebrating his centenary year. He used to work from 3 a.m. to midnight, and he would sleep only 2 or 3 hours. And maybe once in a while he got rest in the afternoon, mostly not. So he was working 21 hours a day, but his activities were all the time sattvic. You know, teaching, writing, studying, helping, organizing. So one can be working, at the same time be sattvic. So that is what we have studied so far. And then last week we talked about people who excessively torture their body. We had talked about that last week. And people who do wrong kind of penance. So the Lord says they persecute their body and persecute me. So that is called tamasic sadhana. Even though it is sadhana, but it is done with the idea either of torturing the body, or a lot of people do tapas for getting powers, like Ravan, Hiranyakashyapu, some of the demons who prayed to the Lord and got a lot of power, but then they misused that. So now Krishna says that all your activities throughout the day can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Your diet, your sacrifices, your rituals, your charity, everything can be, even your tapas can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. So today we will talk about food, how my diet or food can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Before we talk about that, I just want to give a little background about food before we talk about the different kinds of food. Now, our rishis tell us that the food has three parts. You say, what do you mean three parts? I don't see three parts. No, there are three parts to every food item. One is the indigestible, or the gross part of the food, which you are not able to digest, but which gives bulk to the diet, which we excrete, which becomes the excretory part of the food. And that is required, because the bulk is required to make the digestive system work. So the gross part is the part that is not absorbed. Then there is the medium part, which gives us energy, which is metabolized in the body. So that makes proteins and carbohydrates and fats, and then makes my muscles and bone marrow and antioxidants and vitamins. And we find that most of us, or the modern society, emphasize this middle part. You know, the food should be healthy, should be more in protein, less in carbs, more vitamins, antioxidants. And so that, because it builds up our body. But an equally important part is the third part, which is the subtle part of the food, which we do not see, but every food has a subtle aspect to that. And that subtle aspect is the energy part of the food, and that makes the mind. So the mind is made by the subtle aspect of the food. The gross part of the food makes the body, the medium part. So that is also as important as, because they say the kind of diet you eat, it makes your mental attitude. It works both ways. The kind of diet I eat makes my mental attitude. If I eat a sattvic diet, it might help my diet, my mind to be sattvic, but also people who are in a sattvic frame of mind will like a particular food. People who are rajasic like a particular kind of food, and people who are tamasic like a particular kind of food, which we'll go into more detail. But it is well known that the subtle aspect of the food is the one that makes the mind. In fact, that is the aspect that when we offer food to the Lord, he accepts the subtle part. The gross part remains unaffected. He accepts the subtle part, blesses it, and gives it back to us. And that's when the food becomes prasad. Food becomes an offering to the Lord. Even when we offer prayers to our ancestors, I think you were asking about that one time, it is the subtle aspect of food that is offered to the ancestors when we do the shraddha and all that. So what affects the subtle attitude of the food? It is the attitude of the person who is cooking. If a lady is cooking and she's chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, chanting the name of the Lord or remembering the Lord, and cooking with love because she's making for her children and, you know, with love, then that food becomes blessed. But if she's sitting and saying, I came all the way from India to here and I'm still stuck in my kitchen and why do I have to cook and all these guests are coming and I'm tired and every day, then that anger gets transmitted into the food. So that food gets the energy of the person who is cooking. And that's why they say home-cooked food is better. Because eating in a restaurant, again, you don't know who is cooking the food, whether he even took a bath or not, with what attitude he is cooking. So that's why they recommend that as far as possible, eat home-cooked food and the food. In fact, there's a very nice story about this. I'll just tell you about this mental attitude. So there was this Mahatma, this sadhu, who went to a lady's house for bhiksha. You know, she invited him to come and have dinner at my house. And so he went there and as usual, when this monk, sadhu is here, they give the best, you know, best food they cook and all the best plates. So her silver bowls and silver glasses and silver plates, everything the best. She took out because this was an honored guest, a monk in my house. And so as she went into the kitchen, I don't know what happened to that sadhu, but he saw this beautiful silver glass and he said, maybe I should take it. So he pocketed it. You know, they all carry like a thela, like a bag. So he put it in the bag. And then the lady came and served him the food. And she didn't even notice the glass was missing and offered him some Guru Dakshina and all. And he left. She bowed down to him and he left. As he was walking, he started thinking, you know, I am a monk. I'm supposed to be a sadhu. And what did I do? It's so terrible. I stole that glass. What was I thinking? So halfway he turned around and came back and he knocked on the door. And he told the lady, you know, I'm sorry, but this glass, I don't know, somehow accidentally I took it. So she said, I'm not surprised. He said, you're not surprised? He says, you know why? Because my husband is a thief. And all the money that comes in my house comes from thieving. And this food that was cooked for you was cooked with that money, bought with us. So that's why anybody who eats, their mind gets corrupted. So she says, I'm not surprised. It's not your fault. So so the point is, I mean, whatever you take the story with it or not. But the point is that the subtle aspect of the food is equally important. And that's why we offer the food to the Lord. That's why in all faiths, even in Christianity, they say grace. Oh Lord, please bless the food as we are about to eat. May it nourish our bodies. And same way, one should pray and express gratitude to the Lord before you start eating, before you start cooking, before you start eating. Because food should be a spiritual activity. Eating should not be done in a hurry, you know. Just quickly finish it, but should be as an offering to the Lord, because the Lord is in the food and the Lord is being nourished. That's why we have that verse in the fourth chapter, which all the Swamiji's chant. Brahmarpanam brahma havihi brahmagnav brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina, which means the food is Lord, the one who cooked it is Lord, the one who is eating it is the Lord, and the one who is being nourished within is the Lord itself. So the Lord is everywhere. So with that attitude, when the food is eaten, then it becomes sattvic. So just a little brief introduction to what is food. Now we can go to the actual verse where we will talk about the three kinds of food that are available for us. So verse number 8. Chapter 17, verse number 8. Ayu Satva Balarogya.
Ayu Satva
सुखप्रीति विवर्धनः रस्या स्निग्धा स्थिरा हृद्याः आहारा सात्विकप्रियाः. So ahara sattvika priyaha. So the people who are sattvic, people who are more pure minded, more spiritual, what kind of food is priyaha? What ahara, what diet is dear to the sattvic people? So vivardhanaha, vivardhana means it increases. In the first line, the last word is vivardhana, it increases. What does this kind of pure diet increase? Ayu. Ayu means longevity. It's healthy, they live long life. And we'll go into a little more detail into each aspect. Sattva is purity. Bala is not physical strength. It doesn't mean that it builds up their muscles and makes them like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bala means it increases the courage, the mental strength. It increases. And the prana, it increases the pranic energy. Arogya, healthy. Sukha, sukha means pleasant. And preeti means it is. Sukha means joyful and preeti means pleasant. So it increases the pleasant attitude. It makes my attitude better and the food is joyful. Rasya, rasya means tasty. It does not mean that sattvic food should be bland and tasteless. No, it is tasty. Snigdha, snigdha means oleaginous, it's oily. So foods like ghee, you know, we of course nowadays ghee gets a bad rap. But ghee, the original clarified butter that our ancestors used to eat, is actually very good for the joints. Then things like honey. Honey is another food which is substantial, healthy. Sthira means substantial. It should fill you up, but not overfill you up. You should feel satisfied. So satisfying food. Hridya means agreeable. It is agreeable to your physical health, mental health, intellectual health, spiritual health. Ahara sattvika priyaha. So sattvic diet, first of all, increases longevity. And we are all nowadays coming to that. That food that is high in fiber, fruits and vegetables, food that is lightly cooked, not overcooked, not, you know, very spicy, where you can actually taste the taste of the vegetables. Otherwise, if you go to these restaurants and all the food tastes the same because they put so much oil, so much butter, so much cream, and they, you know, cover it with batter and overcook it, you cannot taste it. So this food is tasty. At the same time, it is nourishing. It makes you healthy. And nowadays, we are understanding that people, that diet that is high in fiber, lightly cooked, you know, it reduces cancer, reduces heart disease, gallstones. So a lot of things it's what our ancestors preached 8,000 years ago is coming true right now, that they are saying, yes, that is true. So it increases ayu, then sattva. It increases purity of mind. As I said, this sattvic food, when cooked in a sattvic way, makes the mind pure. Then bala. Bala means strength, courage. Again, not brute force, not the, you know, that I can go and, you know, fight a wrestling match, but it increases our inner pranic energy. The example is Sitaji. You know, Sitaji was all alone with Ravana in his palace. Ravana was the king of the three worlds and the most powerful being at that time. Even he had conquered the gods. And Sitaji stayed in his palace for so long as a prisoner, didn't give in. Because she had that inner bal. No matter what he tried, no matter all the wealth he threw in front of her, all the threats, even he asked the demonesses around, you know, those dasis, those servants, to influence her and scare her and threaten her. She remained firm. So that kind of energy, that kind of strength is what these foods bring us. And then bala, and then arogya, healthy. It is healthy food. We already talked about that. Reduces disease and promotes a feeling of well-being. After eating, you feel light, you feel healthy, you feel happy. Sukha and Preeti, and it gives us joy when you eat this food. Otherwise, this Rajasic food, after you eat, you feel so full. We'll be talking about that. Oh, I'm so full and just want to sleep, you know, 2-3 hours. Or a Tamasic food, of course, just makes you completely lazy. No, this food actually makes you feel good. You want to go out and work. It gives you an inner feeling of well-being. Vivardhanaha. It increases this this sensation of goodness. And then it is said it is rasya. It is not tasteless. See, that people have this idea that, you know, healthy food is tasteless. In fact, there's even that commercial, you know, where they used to say that this is a new cereal and they say it is good for you. They say, let's give it to Johnny because see if he eats it. I don't know if you remember the kids. And the idea was that anything that is good for you should be tasteless. No. This food is tasty, it is delicious because it actually you can taste the food. It is not like pakoda where, you know, you cover it with batter and deep fry it, and it doesn't matter what vegetable you put in it, they all taste the same. So I'm not saying that one shouldn't eat, you know, but the point is that if you want to eat sattvic food, it should be food that you can taste. Rasya, snigdha. I said snigdha, I already told. It's oily, like ghee, honey and all. Sthira means substantial, makes you feel satisfied. I'm happy. You know, the meal should leave you with a satisfaction. And agreeable. Agreeable means for my body it should be healthy. I should feel healthy. I should live. My mind should be at peace after I eat. And my intellect should be nourished so that I can think and work better. It should not make me dull. And it should be good for my spiritual growth. And that's why when we invite a sadhu or a mahatma to our house, we always cook food that it is fresh, it is healthy, it is light, because that person is on the spiritual path. So one should give that person food, and similarly the kind of food that we should eat as much as possible. Of course, if you have a party and invite 100 people, then people say, oh, you cannot cook that. Well, that's a different story. But generally, that is the kind of food that sattvic people like. And just to go over it, it should be fresh, not frozen. Now, frozen food is the worst food. That is most tamasic, and we'll go into more detail about that when we talk about tamasic food. But definitely, anything that is refrigerated for too long, frozen, that is shipped. You know, nowadays you can get foods that are like, even masala dosa, it's all ready-made, you know, shipped and sent from India. So how many months ago it was cooked, frozen and sent here, and then you warm it up and eat it. What kind of food value will you have? And same thing, these ready-to-eat microwave meals. You know, you just take it out frozen, you microwave it, you put it in the oven, it's ready to eat. Now somebody must have picked that vegetable last year, and then they packed it, and then they, you know, put it into, made it into the food, and it took, was shipped for 3 months, and then it came here, then it has been sitting on the department store or the Albertsons for 2-3 months before you buy it, and then you bought it last Christmas, but you never got around to eating it, so now this Christmas you, that is not it. It should be fresh, and it should be lightly cooked and flavored. It should increase our pranic energy and courage, and increase health and spiritual growth. And that is the kind of food that sattvic people like. But when we talk about food, we only talk about ahara. When we talk about food that we eat. Now that is important, of course. The kind of food I eat, as we found in that story of that sadhu, the kind of food we eat influences our mental attitude. But intake is not only through the mouth. It is also through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the skin. We have five portals, five holes from which sensory impulses enter us. So one is, of course, the food that we taste, but what we smell, what we see, what we hear, what we touch. So they say that all intake can be sattvic, tamasic, or rajasic, like now things I see through my eyes. Now I have a choice when I turn on the TV, what kind of show I watch. Do I watch a show that is, you know, educational, maybe something like National Geographic, or maybe there is a good speaker who is talking some spiritual things, you know, some good advice or some, you know, healthy, some good show. So that is my choice. Do I watch something good or do I watch something passionate, you know, like a violent show full of anger and killing and murder and these crime dramas and all that. So that is a rajasic or tamasic, you know, which just makes me lazy, makes me indulgent, you know, all this low type of shows that, you know, take your mind in the wrong direction. So I have a choice what kind of shows I watch, what kind of books I read, what kind of people I associate with. Do I associate with people who are predominantly sattvic, who think like me? And that's what we find, that each one of us creates our own world. Like the sportsmen, now they have a world of sports where they will gather together and talk football or talk baseball or talk, you know, sports, and they will discuss, they will have the fantasy teams, and you know, all the time they are. And then there are people who are scientists, you know, they will associate with other scientists, philosophers will associate with other philosophers, physicists or chemists will have conference where all physicists are gathering or all physicians are gathering, engineers. So we create our own world. So who are the people I associate with? Do I associate with good people who are sattvic and pure and who are serving the world, who are doing good for others? Or do I associate with rajasic people who are into power and the politicians and the businessmen and those who want to succeed at all costs? And that's what they say. These are the people I like to hang out with. You know why? Because I can get contacts. You know, I want that contract. So if I go and talk to this government official, if I take him to dinner, take him to play golf, you know, then he'll get me that contract. So rajasic people associate with people of power, and then tamasic people, as we had also studied last week, associate with gangsters and, you know, ruffians and the mafia and the drug dealers. And why? Because that's their goal, you know, get more drugs or sell drugs, you know, so I can make more money in drug dealing. So the intake, same thing, what kind of music you listen to? Do you listen to pure music, which is spiritual, uplifting, or do you listen to passionate music, which will get you excited? Or do you listen to lazy music, you know, these because they have some particular music also for when you're using drugs. There's a particular music. So the intake can be at all levels, can be sattvic, can be rajasic, or can be tamasic. So that's what they are saying, that if your focus is spiritual growth, and that is, I recently heard somebody tell me that. I said, how do you turn your mind from materialism to spirituality? You know, we are so engrossed in the world, and there are two different worlds. They don't mix. You cannot say that I am in this world and at the spiritual world at the same time. You can bring spirituality into your workplace, but the goal of human birth is to get out of this world and live in that spiritual realm. While you are functioning in the world, you are living in that. So there is a distinct world. It is totally too different. One cannot have feet in two boats. So I asked, so she said, you have to choose. It was a very powerful statement. You have to choose. You choose, what am I going to do with my life? And we constantly are making those choices. Constantly in our life, we are given choices, whether to be good or bad, whether to be material or spiritual, whether to be selfish or unselfish, whether to be loving or hateful, whether to be kind or angry. So constantly we are asked to choose, and so we have to choose God over this world, and that has to be clear in everybody's mind that when I have a choice, I want that. And then once you have made that choice, then it will happen constantly. You will be faced with situations, and you have to try as far as possible to live in that world. How do you do that? Through meditation, through prayer, through right understanding, and as far as possible, live in that world. And like when you talk to Swamijis, even though they are dealing with the rest of us, but they are living in that higher realm, and they function from that realm. That's why when you ask them a question, I'm impressed, you know, when you talk to Vimalji or Swami Ishwaranandaji, the question you ask them, and from where do these answers come? I cannot even understand. Beautiful answers. They just pour out of them. Why? Because they are in touch with that, the higher self, with the Lord. The Lord is speaking through them. And so one has to make a choice that what do I want out of my life? Am I just going to live my life punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatreshainam, again and again born and then come out of a mother's womb and then live a life and then die and back? Or do I want to change my life so that I do not go through this suffering again and again? So once you choose, then all intake becomes, you become alert. It's called alert living. That's what Swami Chinmayanandaji used to say, that be alert and awake, alert and vigilant. Wake up to that knowledge and be alert. And then vigilant means do not fall back to that old ways. So that is called living intelligently. And so we all have to decide that what is my choice? What am I going to do with my life? And when you choose the right path, then stay with it. Don't fall back. So this in brief is what sattvic people eat. Any questions or comments? I know diet, there will be a lot of questions. Everybody, yes.
You're talking about frozen food. Why? I live by myself.
Try to buy smaller quantities so that you can finish it in one time as much as possible, or maybe in two meals. Up to 24 hours, you know, now when this teaching was given 8,000 years ago, there was no fridge. So they said, in fact, in the Tamasic, it says that within 3 hours of cooking, the food has to be eaten, that he will talk about. But nowadays, it's very difficult. You know, the mother can't be cooking 3 meals a day and all that. So, yeah, putting it in the fridge. But as far as possible, buy smaller quantities so that it doesn't last more than 24 hours. As much as possible. Yeah, try your best. But because if that's healthy, you know, we'll be talking in more detail when we talk about tamasic food. But yeah, as far as possible, buy small portions, even though I know it works out to be more expensive, you know, if you buy a big thing or you buy something small. But I mean, if you can do that, or eat only one item with one meal so that you can finish it and then the second one. But as far as possible, yeah, avoid deep freezing.
People who are living in the colder climate, they don't have a choice.
Again, you know, when it is frozen and 6 months or a year later you are eating it, you don't know, you know, whether how much it is. There's definitely, if you have a choice, okay, if I give you a fresh tomato, you say you eat it, and you say, then I give you tomato paste, that last year was the tomato was picked and then it was, you know, manufactured in some factory and then shipped in a year later, it's bound to be different. You cannot say that it is, even if it was frozen, a frozen tomato or a fresh tomato, won't it be different?
It would be.
Yes.
There's no availability.
Yeah, I agree. Like he said, same thing. If you don't have a choice, if there is no availability, I 100% understand. And it's not also very practical. You know, like you said, you cannot be cooking 3 times a day. But as far as possible, this should be the goal. This should be as to the best of my ability, I should try to eat. And obviously, you know, you have to put food in the fridge and, you know, but like the example I have, this is a very, very true story. One of my friend, I won't name him, But his wife used to go to India for 6 weeks to 2 months. And this is absolutely true. I have seen it. 6 weeks to 2 months, she would go to India. And she would actually cook food and freeze it and then put in this Ziploc bag and label it 19th lunch, 19th dinner, 20th lunch, 20th. I have seen it in his freezer. For 6 weeks, she will cook so that he shouldn't have to worry about getting food from outside. How can it be healthy? You know, it's better to have, you know, a tiffin. You know, nowadays so many ladies cook every day and you can buy the food and maybe eat it for two meals. But I have seen that. I'm not joking. And she used to literally do that. That's how organized she was. But I don't know the poor guy whether because she didn't want him to eat outside. So that food cannot be healthy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Still, people are living longer than before.
Yeah, no, because we have removed infectious diseases, then malnutrition, you know, because there's more availability of food, the more efficient farming. And that another thing about efficient farming, I'll talk about that. All these GMOs and preservatives and chemicals and all, they can't be good for you. I know people are living longer because we have conquered infections. You know, there's no cholera, there's no diarrhea, there's no typhoid, there's no smallpox, there's no chickenpox. So a lot of these things we have conquered with vaccination, with antibiotics. So that's why people are living longer. And there is malnutrition has been removed. The food distribution is there. So there are good things happening. I'm not saying that. But still, if you're talking about sattvic food, this is the food that is sattvic. That's all. I know it's not practical to be 100%, but as far as possible, one should do that. Right. No, I agree. That's why they say cooking at least once in a week or so should be a family activity where all the children and the whole family gets together. One person, you know, washes the vegetables, other one cuts them, another one cooks, and then set the table, and then afterwards together, you know, eat together and then clean up together and, you know, do the dishes. So it can become a family activity. So that's what I'm saying, you know, instead of just one person. But the idea is that this is what Krishna is saying. I'm not saying it.
Food may be sattvic when it's bad.
Right.
But because of the preservatives, it could turn into rajasic or sattvic.
Yes, absolutely.
Like mango, you know, mango is sattvic. But when it's pickled, you put oil in it.
Right.
And salt and other things. So now, 6 months later, it's not sattvic anymore.
Absolutely, it's tamasic. That's why pickled food is definitely tamasic. I mean, it's tasty, you know, but it is tamasic. There's no doubt about it. See, taste is one thing and, you know, healthy is another. So, I mean, like you say, it's not practical. I'm not saying that I eat sattvic food. I'm the last one. But I'm just telling what the book says. Try as much as to follow it, as much as you can. Yeah. He doesn't. He's a very healthy eater.
Because we're all more rajasic, and we're not even getting it from our food.
Yeah, absolutely. And the food that is grown is all seeds. You know, Monsanto supplies half the world's seeds, and they're all genetically modified, and they are all the food are meant to last long. The tomato, you leave it there, even 2 weeks later, it looks the same. You know, the fruits, they don't deteriorate. Why? Because they've all been modified. So they can be shipped long distances, you know, international, from here to China. You know, we ship fruits and vegetables. Now, if they are normal, they wouldn't last that long. They have to be modified so that they, first of all, they have to look nice. So they look healthy, you know, they look beautiful, these fruits and vegetables. But actually, they are all modified. They don't have that taste. And they are meant to last long, so that they, even 2 weeks later, they should look the same. So how can that happen? A proper natural tomato cannot last 2 weeks, or a cauliflower, or, you know, anything like that. So the point is that the food industry is doing it for maximum profit. See, they are in it to make money, and they don't care about our health or anybody's health. They only care about their bottom line. And so, unfortunately, that's what is happening, you know. And as the population increases, to feed all of them, I guess they have to do that. In the olden days, they used to be the local farms and then the local store, grocery store. You go there, buy your produce. and cheese, you know, you buy the local cheese. Nowadays they make cheese in, you know, which a year later nothing happens to it. Why? Because it has all been modified. So in nowadays everything is big, you know, big department stores, big factories, big farms, you know, 10,000 acres. Olden days there used to be a small farm. I remember my great grandfather, my mother's grandfather, I still remember seeing him. He lived to be 108. He was himself a farmer, and he owned a fair amount of, small amount of land, but pretty good amount. He was comfortable, and he had some people working for him. And that's all he ate, fresh fruits, vegetables. He had, you know, cows. He drank that milk. Even after age 100, he had passed 100 years, he used to take a bus from Sirsa and go to Delhi and go to the big cities to order his supplies alone by himself. So alert, you know, and so healthy. And only reason he passed at 108 because his wife died, whose wife was around 85, was his second wife. And she had been his wife for 50, 60 years. And after he died, he said, now I don't want to live because she's gone. He was still healthy at 108. Okay, we'll end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.